Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Check them out at greenventureslandscaping.com. Taking your thoughts all show long, 615-737-1025. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How we doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Do you ever do those lat pull downs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might have like torn my labrum.
How many times does Rexroad go to the gym where he comes home with some debilitating injury? It's the opposite of what's supposed to be happening here, Joe.
Well, when you're falling apart like a stewed chicken, you know, maybe the workouts need to be a little bit more, you know, geriatric, you know, a little more like.
You think you're okay. Like Sylvester Stallone in the 80s in there, just pumping everything that's around?
I mean, I'm just doing regular lifting. It's like I'm going to have to start doing like, you know, you get in like little group things. Like you put your left foot in, you put your left and do like hokey pokey with some elderly folks, man. I don't know.
It's but like one of those spin classes. My wife loves them.
Those look intense, though, man.
Yeah.
Like, you walk by the room and it's like, geez, they're like going hard now. I don't want to mess with that. I was wrong about my PCL tear, I think, right? Like, it feels fine now. So I'm hoping this, but dude, like, I can't have my right shoulder, you know, be messed up and need surgery, man. Because I freaking, you know, put it on number 10 on the lat pull down and tried to do like, oh no, I'm sorry. It was at number 11 and ooh. I tried to do 10 reps, whatever the hell that is. I don't even know what that is. How much weight that is. I don't know. All I know is I'm pathetic. Other than that, doing great.
Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Maybe some jazzercise in the future here.
There you
for
go.
Joe. Yeah, that's that one's pretty good. That, you know, it's relaxing.
In the pool?
Yeah, pool would be even better, even. Honestly. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, doing good.
Here comes the beach ball.
But doing just fine, thanks. Yeah, got some more rain last night. Hope everybody was safe. Not too stormy, I don't think, compared to the other night. So, happy Wednesday, folks.
You know, I can see it now. Rexroad working out with a Richard Simmons video in front of him. He's ready to go. Good stuff.
That reminds me of the Nutty Professor. I'm a pony. Yeah.
Well, Joe, this is one of those days where we could probably do six-hour show. We have all the stuff going on with Chad Brinker, which we'll get into here in just a few minutes. There's still some NFL draft fallout. Dave Ziegler talked yesterday for the Titans. We got Kuharski coming in later. Diego Pavia ended up on the Baltimore Ravens and has now signed a 3-year deal with the Ravens. We also have the Stanley Cup playoffs going on, the NBA playoffs going on, and it looks like the NCAA tournament expansion is definitely going to happen now. So is there anything I've missed as we get launched today here on the show? It's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. And yes, the last thing there may have to be addressed at 7:45 again.
I figured it might. We got a lot going on the show today. Kuharski will be with us in the second half of the program, and we will get into all things Titans with him, from the stepping down of Chad Brinker to the press conferences yesterday to what happened in the draft. A whole lot of stuff to get into with PK a little bit later in the program. But, Joe, that's where we'll start. Chad Brinker leaving the organization. He is stepping down as president of football operations for the Tennessee Titans. They put that statement out last night. I will read part of it from Chad Brinker, who said, quote, "It's been an honor to serve as the president of football operations of the Titans. Over the years, I've understood and embraced my role as the leader of football strategy, but as I've spent less time in personnel, I have a renewed conviction that it is time to return to what I love and move towards my next chapter. I'm grateful for Amy's understanding and my decision for allowing me to pursue other opportunities. He goes on to talk about being proud of the work that they've done, and not the least of which was last year's GM search and all those things. But Chad Brinker is now out with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, Joe, this comes not that long after there was basically, as we discussed on the show at the time, a power restructure again with Borgonzi kind of feeling like he was promoted over Chad Brinker. And here we are a few months later, and Brinker is out. So, Joe, we'll just start with you. What is your reaction to Chad Brinker leaving the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, look, I mean, you look at the whole thing, and it just – I think Chad Brinker is the classic example of someone getting quote unquote kicked upstairs, you know, in a football team, you know, in any sort of business corporate situation. What he came here to do, what he likes to do, is personnel. He was obviously all phases of that in Green Bay. He gets brought in by Rand Carthon. And then, you know, he gets elevated. It seems like a lot of the stuff that happened to him, well, first of all, everything that happens, of course, could tie back to Amy Adams Strunk. And when it comes down to it, she liked him a lot. She ends up firing the guy who hires him, promoting him. But then, excuse me, it must be my shoulder affecting my throat here. But in the meantime, I don't know if you could look at this as – I've seen some NFL people talk about, like, losing a power struggle. Like Greg Rosenthal, and I don't know him at all, but I saw that he said, you know, put something like that, you know, loses his power struggle with Mike Borgonzi. I mean, I don't think that's what this is. I'm very interested to hear Paul Kaharsky's take later. I think what it is he lost the power struggle with Amy's instincts, who said, okay, you go up there, you're in charge of that. You know what? I want Mike to be totally in charge of personnel. You deal with all the other stuff, Chad. But you're still, you still have this amazing title and the money and all that stuff. But the personnel stuff, you're out of that. He's on that. And maybe, you know, listen, if things go well here moving forward, that may prove to be good instincts by Amy Adams Strunk. But to me, it's just, he has been moved up and over and around at her whims and is like, I want to do personnel. That's what he's spent his whole career doing, so he's leaving to do it. I think it's as simple as that. I don't know that for sure. Maybe there's some underlying thing here that I'm not aware of, but again, I'll be interested to hear what Paul says.
Well, the timing's interesting, right? I mean, it comes right after the draft, so this is, I think, the way I read it, Joe, is this is something maybe that's been in the works for a little bit, at least from maybe his side of things, and that they get through the draft, and now that they're through the draft, they've found the time to execute this. So
exactly,
it kind of feels like this has been coming for a while. Now, I will say, like I said, you know, it wasn't that long ago where we were having conversations with Charles Robinson in the latter part of Rand Carthon's tenure, which were basically, Joe, you know, when I talk to teams around the league, they're dealing with Chad. They're not really dealing with Rand, right? That's what Charles said on our show, and it's been a lot of time talking about that. And then Borgonzi comes in, and they're doing all these joint press conferences, and it's like, oh, let's get Chad up there and do the press conference. Remember the one where after they'd fired Brian Callahan, I think it was probably the last one where we saw where it was both of them up there together. And you could tell in that press conference, Joe, like it got a little uncomfortable for Brinker, right? Like some of the questions were like, basically, I mean, you've been here through all this, and it ain't going very well. Like, what do you think about all this? And then not that long after that, as they, you know, delving through the Brian Callahan stuff, Mike McCoy's the interim head coach, and they finally mercifully get to the end of last season, you know, they come out with this, I guess what I would term again is restructuring again, right? Which is just Borgonzi's now in charge of the entire roster, the football operations, and all those things, and Brinker's doing this other stuff. And it did kind of feel at the time like it was like, all right, we're trying to distance ourselves a little bit from Brinker on the football side of things. They didn't fire him, obviously, and he's hanging around. But it is interesting that just a few months later, he decides to go at that point. So, like, I guess I don't, you know, I don't know what power struggle that Rosenthal's talking about. Like, I don't think that, you know, Brinker and Borgonzi were on the draft meeting room just, like, yelling at each other about what they were going to do. But I guess if you want to look at it long term, I mean, he did kind of lose a power struggle in terms of it just didn't have much to do with the roster at all anymore, and it all became Borgonzi.
Right. Like, he was obviously, he was adamant before all that happened, right, that, like, Mike's going to be the one. But when it came down to it, he was still involved in personnel. And when, and if need be, like, who had the last call? Like, if it came down to it, you know, you still, he was perceived as the guy in charge. That statement in January basically said, like, he's just on this side now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's, and again, so, I mean, I read his statement and everything. I've seen that Nick Suss has some reporting that he has in the Tennessean. Again, we'll be interested to see what Kaharski says. But, I mean, I think it's as simple as he wants to do personnel. And I can't really blame, like, a football guy who, I'm sure it's been great to be promoted and the money that's come with it and everything. But, like, I mean, he's built his whole career here mostly in Green Bay. You know, working on these different models with injuries, stuff like that, but also just being involved in selecting players. I mean, that's right. Like, that's probably the fun part of the job for people here. So, yeah, I think that when that happened, again, then it's like, was it, you know, was that like a shock to him when she did that back then?
Uh-huh.
Or was the writing on the wall? Was there a struggle at some point back then? You know, I don't know. I do know. Let me read this. This is Jonathan Jones from CBS, one of my favorite NFL reporters, not named Charles Robinson. Since December of 22, the Titans have fired John Robinson, hired Rand Carthon, fired Mike Vrabel, hired Brian Callahan, fired Rand Carthon, promoted Chad Brinker, hired Mike Borgonzi, fired Brian Callahan, hired Robert Saleh, and seen Chad Brinker resign.
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
Well,
that's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff, and we're going to, you know, get into with Kaharski. He's got something up today at his website, and the title says, Titans Pattern of Shifting Power on Display Again with Chad Brinker's ex. And that's what it is. I mean, and again, this one, it's not a firing, at least not technically a firing, but it is another Titans higher-up that is now out the door. So we'll take your reaction to that, Chad Brinker is leaving the Titans organization. Take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We got a whole lot to get into on this coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds taking on Norfolk at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 635. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Taking your thoughts on Chad Brinker stepping down from the Tennessee Titans at 615-737-1025. Skyler says, I'm still so confused with Chad Brinker. The entire thing has fallen apart ever since I've heard the name Chad Brinker. I could not care less. Get him the hell out of the state of Tennessee. It's from Skyler on the text line. Oh, boy.
Aggressive Skyler.
Yes, aggressive Skyler. Logan says, I don't want him touching my football team. This is from January of 2025. So really not that long ago. It's a year and a half ago at this point. And this is, you know, after Callahan's first season, Carthon gets fired, and they're going to look for another general manager, okay? And I'm reading this from paulkuharski.com. I'll just read a couple of graphs for you. It says, so why doesn't the Titans president of football operations, Chad Brinker, a role that was created last year, just simply become the team's general manager as the team moves on from firing Rand Carthon Tuesday? He and Callahan would certainly be aligned. Brinker said that things have developed and are simply too big in an NFL front office now for one person to take on everything anymore. Quote, we need a general manager. The general manager of the 1990s is not what it is now. This thing has grown. It's huge. There are a lot of different things going on, but at the heart of it all is player acquisition and then coaching. It's a very, very important job, just like the head coach. There are two key positions of the football program. He went on to say, this is a real general manager's job, but I've got final authority on all football-related matters. So I remember talking about that at the time, being like, okay, what does all that mean? So I guess my question in the aftermath of this, Joe, is that, you know, the Titans have operated. There's one line in there that kind of stands out to me. You know, the general manager in the NFL has become a job that, in Brinker's words, is just too big for one person to handle now with everything that goes in it. So, like, are the Titans going to go hire another president of football operations now to replace Brinker? Or is this Mike Borgonzi just taking a hold of all of it now? And the real answer is, okay, well, it was maybe too big for, like, Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker to handle all of it at the same time, but it's not really that big for Mike Borgonzi, or, by the way, a whole lot of these other organizations around the league to do it. I'm very interested to see how this goes.
I'd be shocked if the second thing is what happens. I think they'll definitely hire someone. Again, like, just I think a lot of organizations have.
Well, the good news for them is they got 75 people in their organization internally to choose from.
Yeah, well, right, yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. It's like you said, on the personnel side, they have all these guys. I mean, it's just like look around in sports. It's like, gee, so college football teams, they have what, like 19 football assistants now? And, oh, now you have 5, 6 full-time assistants in college basketball? And it's just like more and more people doing everything. But I do think that – I mean, I think most teams have some, whatever the title is, that oversees the administrative stuff, right? I mean, so I think that – So my read on everything you read is Chad Brinker got, again, kind of kicked upstairs. So now you're in charge of the whole operation. But in his mind, it was still, okay, I like the promotion, great and all that stuff. But I'm still touching personnel. I'm still over all of it. So just at least I'm in the conversations and I'm going to let the GM do the job. But I ultimately, if there's something that I think is just really off, I still have that authority. And then he lost it, right? Yeah. And then basically he didn't just lose it, he was like, you just all on the other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Which, so again, is that, and I'm interested to see, you know, if Kaharski agrees with that, or you know, whatever his reporting and his read is on this. But yeah, I think this has been a long time coming, probably. And to the point, you mentioned last time at the timing. Remember when John Robinson got fired? I mean, all those guys stayed, and it was like, well, they're gonna, you know, because you have to go through the process, stay through the draft, and then go. Now, not that I guess Brinker didn't necessarily have to, because if he's not tied to personnel, what the heck was he doing, right? But it makes sense. These moves, whatever they are in the front office, almost always happen like right after the draft.
One thing that is clear to me, and you may disagree with this, we'll see, but regardless of how they get there, and I think it's been differing circumstances, whether you want to go back to the Carthon firing or Vrabel or all, it's a pattern. And we've talked about this pattern before, and this is another iteration of it, and maybe it's not the same. But the pattern in this organization, the past, you know, 5, 6 years for sure, and there's been a lot of losing that goes along with this, so you've got to factor that in. If they start winning, I would hope it's going to be different moving forward. But the pattern seems to be, you know, there's somebody that has Amy Adams Strunk's full trust, right? There's full trust for about a year, right? For about a year, year and a half. And then all of a sudden that trust starts to fade, and either they get fired or they get rearranged, and then her trust goes to somebody else, right? Like, you know, it's Vrabel. Vrabel, we got a great football coach. We got one of the best football coaches in the league. And then all of a sudden, Vrabel starts to go off the rails, and he goes to New England, does the stuff. They start losing games. It's like, well, we got Rand. Hey, Rand's our guy. And then, well, we got Chad. And Chad's our guy. Yeah, like it just – she has full trust in somebody for like about a year, Joe. And then the season comes around. Things don't go exactly the way you hope they would go. And it feels like either somebody's got to get blamed for it or the trust shifts. And now it's in Borgonzi, to the point where it feels like it's almost Groundhog Day with this conversation, with how often it's happened over the last few years. But, Joe, one of the things I woke up this morning thinking was, well, if this doesn't change relatively quickly here with the Titans, you know who's going to be next? Borgonzi. He's up in the pecking order now with the way that this has gone.
You're up, Mike. You're up. Yeah. Well, and I think – it's like falling out of favor. Obviously, there's different circumstances around some of those, but you're right. It's still a pattern. It's a very clear pattern. It's a pattern of rising to favor and then falling out of favor. And I think one thing here, you know, it's interesting because with the Brinker kind of moving, you know, you go away from personnel, do all that other stuff. It's like, was Brinker partially, like, was there still some blame for him, given that, as we said a million times, he was a part of all those bad Rand Carthon decisions, right? Or maybe it's an and or. And or does it, is this a case of Borgonzi comes in and presses the heck out of him? Okay, that's my guy, you know? I mean, it's probably some combination of those things.
That feels but exactly now, like yes, what we're talking about you, with Mike. Brinker, right? Like it feels like, well, yeah. Was this Carthon doing a bad job or did Brinker just come in and she's like, man.
Yeah, Chad is. He is one of the smartest people I think I've ever seen around the organization. We just got to make sure we promote him and put him in charge. Never mind the fact the football team's gone to hell ever since he walked through the door around here. We got to promote him.
Yep. Someone's got, again, right? Someone rises to favor. And so, again, when it's winning, you know, when it's good football, it's like everybody's awesome. Everything's awesome. Everybody, like, promotions, extensions, raises, yay. And then if the football goes bad and it's like, you know, someone has to be the fall guy. Someone has to take the blame. But then also it's like someone rises up here. Rand's so impressive. We got to hire him. You know, Vrabel said he's not ready to be a GM. Rand, you know, et cetera, on and on. And then, so now here we are with Mike Borgonzi. Yeah, it's all, I mean, it has been, like, it's been clear, like, this is his team. Like, he is putting together the team. We've stopped talking about Chad Brinker, yeah. Right? So now it's like, and, you know, like Jared Springer on the YouTube chat is like, you know, if this wasn't the Titans, this would be bigger news. I disagree. I mean, the NFL doesn't care about stuff like this. This town does. And maybe some, like, again, Jonathan Jones I cited, just looking at the overall, like, oh, God, more upheaval in Tennessee, I guess from that perspective. But in a vacuum, this move is not a newsmaker in the NFL.
Well, and let me be clear. I also, like, I'm not worried about this having some adverse effect on the Titans. Like, you know, from the larger standpoint of the pattern of just continued upheaval here, I mean, yeah, we've been talking about that for years at this point. I mean, it ain't gone very well with Chad Brinker around here. And look, I understand, you know, Chad Brinker, I'm sure that there's things that he does very well. And my guess is he probably ends up back in Green Bay in some sort of function or capacity. You know, that's my guess as to, or maybe Miami. Down there with John Eric Sullivan and all these different guys. We'll see what that looks like. But I'm not shedding any tears over Chad Brinker being gone from the Titans. Like, it, regardless of his role in personnel and how deep it was involved or what he was doing now, the bottom line is, since he's been here, the football team's been very bad. And he's not to blame for all of that. He probably is to blame for some of that, and I'm not shedding any tears that he's gone.
I agree with you, but I also agree with Ed on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, who says, if Borgonzi turns out to be successful, then for all Brinker gets blamed for, he should deserve credit for that hire at least. And you know what, Ed? Rand Carthon would deserve credit for the previous hire, too. How about that?
Yeah, there we go.
Mind blown.
It always goes back.
And then, Amy gets credit for hiring Rand.
That's right. It all
everything
back.
Is awesome.
That's right. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your reaction to Chad Brinker leaving the Titans organization coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Chad Brinker stepping down from the Titans organization. And your reaction to that. Joe, so far I would sum up the reaction this way. Not a lot of people sad to see Chad Brinker gone would be the way that I would put it.
No, I mean, I think Chad Brinker has kind of been a symbol of, well, obviously the Rand thing didn't work out. He survives. Everybody's like, well, why did he survive? People were obviously very upset about Vrabel being fired. And now I know now maybe people look at it like, a little bit different take on that, although it's still, I mean, it, you know, you go back to that time, to me, that doesn't change anything about the decision-making at the time or anything. But I'm just saying, maybe now it's viewed a little differently. But then you go through everything. And look, I think, you know, especially like some of the, you know, like the Brinker-Borgonzi combo, they had a couple of those presses where it's like, yeah, let's make this real simple. And they did. And I mean, I think that they did the right thing in making, you know, putting Borgonzi in charge of the team, making him just the clear GM, and that's that. And I've looked at Brinker since then, since the whatever you want to call it, I guess it's a demotion, or it's certainly another changing, you know, again, it's a whatever, demotion, a demotion upstairs, whatever you want to call it. But I've kind of looked at him like like the Steve Underwood of the Titans, right?
Yep.
Now a lot of people would say, well, he was great at his job. I'm just saying, like,
way
that's
less impressive
the role
of a stash, but yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, he would never even try, nor would I, to try to match that stash. But that's, in some way, you know, the structure's different. I mean, you know, Kaharski could probably lay out a lot of ways that, like, the roles are very different, and Underwood was a big part of their success for a long time and all that stuff. I'm just saying that's sort of the idea. And again, people like that really don't – I mean, their biggest function is making the decisions on the GM, bringing in the people, you know. And again, Brinker did bring in Borgonzi. So Borgonzi, I mean, Ed's right. If Borgonzi's good and they're going to be a good football team moving forward, well, I mean, he does have to get credit for that. And Ran does have to get credit for bringing him in to bring in Borgonzi.
I want
to
read
this. It's all looking great.
It's all looking great. I do want to read this because this is, I think, the larger point. And this is from Kuharski. At paulkuharski.com. Even if it's a good move for the franchise, it continues an odd cycle. Rand Carthon hired Brinker, who overtook him in the power structure and then saw Carthon fired. Brinker hired Borgonzi, who surpassed him in power and now watches Brinker leave. It's a hopscotch that makes the franchise appear wobbly. It also gives us cause to doubt the Titans are spelling things out honestly when it comes to office politics with their highest-ranking people, and a 7:24 p.m. Tuesday evening press release. We should keep an eye on Reggie McKenzie, one of the top three people in personnel whose title is vice president / football advisor. He's most closely tied to Brinker, so it will be interesting to see if he becomes a Titans guy valued by Borgonzi or if he might move on as well. This is what Kuharski had to say. But, yeah, like the hopscotch that makes the franchise appear wobbly. It is kind of amazing when you lay it out that way of, you know, Carthon hired Brinker, and then Brinker basically immediately overtook him in the power structure, and Carthon gets fired. Brinker hired Borgonzi, and then less than a year later, Borgonzi has completely overtaken him in the power structure, and now Brinker is gone. It's an interesting cycle they're in.
Yeah, and it's instability, and it speaks mostly just to, at the top, indecision and bad decisions and more decisions. Again, maybe you've stumbled upon something here where the football team's going to be good. You got a good football guy making you a good football team, and all the other stuff is like, whatever. No one cares. And that's my thing. It's like, you know, in the context of what Kaharski is laying out there, the upheaval and everything, it's somewhat interesting in the NFL, you know, but it really, like, this isn't, I mean, this isn't a big story because it's not someone who's doing the player stuff. Now, he did previously, which, again, that just speaks to the dysfunction. So now, you know, who replaces him? That's an interesting point on McKenzie. You know, how important is this hire? I mean, to me, it's like, if you're going to have the structure the way it is, like, I don't really think the general public, the Titans fan, cares if the security cameras are properly angled in the building and whatever else, you know? I mean, it's now, other than, is that going to be the person who, if it goes bad and Borgonzi's out, is the person replacing Brinker that the person who's hiring Borgonzi's replacement? And we may as well start talking about that, because until the cycle ends, the cycle just continues at a rapid rate.
Well, and the thing about all this is, like, this is kind of thrown in the middle of what I do think, I mean, objectively, I do feel like there's a lot to be hopeful about if you're a Titans fan moving forward right now, right? Like, there's, you've got a second-year quarterback that by no means was great last year, but showed you some things throughout the course of a season, and particularly, I think, got better in the second half of the year. You just drafted a receiver, fourth overall, and we've talked about, you know, what's going to have to come with that in terms of his production. But it's exciting, right? Like, you've got a first overall pick at quarterback, you've got a fourth overall pick at wide receiver, you have a coaching staff now that I would term is, at least you feel like you got some adults in the room, right? Like, it's like some guys that, to very differing degrees, on the offensive side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, have proven to be good coaches. Now, have not proven to be good head coaches yet. And that's going to be interesting to see if Saleh can do that and Stott too. But I guess my point is, there's a lot right now that you can point to if you're a Titans fan to say, you know, I'm hopeful about this. Like, I feel like, you know, the organization is coming up, and I don't think this changes that, right? Like, I don't think the Brinker thing changes it, but it is a reminder of kind of where they've been and why they've been as poor as they've been over the last 5 years when it comes to just the dregs of the NFL. Like, somebody put it out there earlier, you know, going back to, you know, Saleh's excuses with the Jets, because, hey, it's the Jets, and everybody across the NFL goes, yeah, it's the Jets. What do you expect somebody to do there? Well, like, the last 5-6 years, you've been the Jets, and this is kind of the reminder of that.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong with Saleh, like, that if it doesn't work, that he has to be a DC. He needs to be like, it was the Titans. Yeah. It was the Jets. It was the Titans.
Saleh's like, I'm not taking another head coaching job unless it's like, you know, the Steelers or the Cowboys. I mean, maybe the Cowboys aren't a great example. The Chiefs, wherever.
Niners. Go back to the Niners. Yeah. No, this is, you're right. It's like, it's a time of hope. And look, for all franchises to some extent, that's what the offseason is. But there's some things to look at and say, okay, maybe it's going to start getting better. And then it's like a big splash of cold water. Don't forget, you're still the Titans, and there's still weird stuff that's going to happen, and someone's leaving, and someone's getting promoted, and someone's getting demoted, and someone's getting fired, and the person in charge is, yeah, very questionable in terms of actually having a grasp on things that need to be done.
Joe, did you see this tweet from PK last night? He said, the Titans have said over and over the football side's too big for a GM to run. With Chad Brinker leaving, I wonder if room is being created for Bryce Wasserman. He is chief of staff and football operations and is Amy Adams Strunk's son-in-law. So what do you make of that?
Well, yes. I mean, I thought of that too. And the thing about that is, it's like, it probably makes sense. It might be a good move, but publicly, it's like I've said before with, like, you know, like the idea of especially years ago when David Poyle was still GM, and this idea that maybe Brian Poyle could be the next GM. I've said it on a show. He might be the greatest GM in the history, the have the keenest eye for personnel and hockey in the history of the game, but there's just going to be an issue publicly because of who he is.
Yep.
You know, like, you're just starting with that. And so in terms of optics, that's a terrible idea. In terms of optics, it's a terrible idea. It might be the right move. I don't know. That's another thing I'm interested to ask Kuharsky about, to elaborate on that. But it's a bad move optically. But again, it's also, even with that, do you ever, like, does the football get better? Like, if the football gets better, no one gives a crap.
Exactly.
If it doesn't, then there's just another example of, so now you made this huge deal. You brought this guy over. You promoted him. Then you moved him. And then your son-in-law pops in there to, you know, tell everybody that that job isn't that important. Again, this is what people say if the football doesn't get better. If it gets better, then we all forget about it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More your reaction to Chad Brinker stepping down from the Titans. We've talked about Mike Borgonzi. Well, there's a scenario thrown out there yesterday that might not bode well for Mike Borgonzi. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. Finely tuned craft beer for finely tuned fans. Tennessee Brew Works, official craft beer of offseason coverage here on 1025 The Game. Joe, we've talked about Brinker stepping down from the Titans organization. We'll continue to take your thoughts on that. PK will be with us in the second half of the program, and I'm very interested to see what PK has to say on this subject. We talked about, you know, this pattern, if it continues, I guess Borgonzi's next in line here if things don't improve. Well, I'll present a scenario to you, Joe Rexroad, that wouldn't bode well, I don't think, for Mike Borgonzi, and that was, you know, the way too early 2027 NFL mock draft that Brugler put out there. Now, keep in mind, not that this really means anything, but it is interesting. I think Brugler did this exercise last year, where he did the way too early mock draft for 2026. And in that exercise, he had the Titans picking fourth. And that's where the Titans ended up picking.
So, do you remember who he had them picking?
I don't. It was not Cornell Tate. I do remember that. But I don't remember who was there. I can go find it, though.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, he puts this disclaimer in the thing, the order, because I've seen a lot of Titans fans say, well, everybody thinks we're going to suck again. The order, at least for him, is just based on Vegas odds.
Yeah.
So he's not predicting records along with this. He's just going by Vegas odds all the way down to 32, which I guess means that the Rams are the Super Bowl favorite.
I guess so. Because
Ty Simpson's going to come in and a little 2QB system. It's going to be amazing.
But according to the Vegas Odds / Brugler's 2027 look ahead, he's got the Titans picking 5th in next year's draft. I'm here to tell you right now, Joe, you know, that is a technically improvement. If they're picking 5th in next year's draft, that's going to be a problem. I'm not saying they got to pick, you know, 22nd in next year's draft. But 5th, if you're talking about another top 5 pick for the 3rd year in a row, that's a big issue for the Tennessee Titans. It probably does not bode well for Mike Borgonzi.
Yeah, because he is next here. I suppose with the move before Brinker even left, like, that was kind of true, right? But I suppose you could have still, if you needed to find some accountability and things didn't go well next year, you could still target Brinker, and now you can't. He's gone. So it's all on Borgonzi now. And yes, if it goes bad next year, then it's like, well, clearly the team building hasn't been good, but you can't blame the coach after 1 year, and on the cycle goes. At some point, they need to not suck at football, or it's just like they're going to set a record for just like personnel upheaval. It really is an amazing thing. But not only if they pick that high, but if they pick who Brugler has them picking, I think that's also a bad thing for Mike Borgonzi.
Yeah.
He had T.J. Parker, by the way.
Last year?
Yep.
T.J. Parker? There you go.
4th overall for the Titans, edge Clemson. He actually had Keldrick Falk going 6th to the Panthers.
Okay.
Well, like if he would have had like 8-10 sacks last season, he might have been right, you know?
Well, he's had Arch Manning, I think, 2 years in a row going number one.
Yeah, yeah. But now last year, that – obviously, that would make sense that this year you would take an edge high, right?
Sure.
And they did. But next year he's got him taking Dylan Stewart.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, is a tremendous prospect. And
other than being coached by Shane Beamer, yes.
Excellent coaching he's been receiving. He's even getting better and better. But if the Titans – like, imagine that. Like, the Titans – as we talked about for a long time, and Femi Oladejo was a second-round pick, so it was still part of this, but for forever, they had not taken an edge in the first round, right? It was Javon Kearse, right?
Yep.
I believe that's right.
Or Derek Morgan.
Yeah, Derek Morgan, 2010.
He was defensive line. I mean, I don't know if he was edge. He was more of a 4-3 guy.
But still, that
defensive
that
end.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It was Morgan. But, yeah, either way, you count him as an edge. But imagine if they go first round at edge.
Like, I mean, right tackle all over again.
Well, it kind of is, isn't it? So you certainly hope, if you're a Titans fan, that two things are dead wrong. One, that they're picking that high. Two, that their choice, wherever they pick in the first round, is an edge. Because that means certainty. And you can't have certainty on Falk, right? So what that would mean would be basically certainty that the Oladejo pick was a total bust.
That, or you're just in a spot where it's like, well, this kid is clearly the best player left on the board, number 5. But, yeah, I would agree with you. Like, I mean, that would also be a situation where, like, need would have to be factored in to some degree, I would hope. So.
And interesting here, Brugler in his 2026 way too early mock from last year, guess who he had going number 12? Anthony Hill Jr., linebacker, Texas, 12th overall. Last year.
So what you're saying is Borgonzi may have cooked in this draft, according to Dane Brugler's rankings from a year ago.
Well, or you know, some of these players are just way worse than people thought they were. But
and looks like Tate was 13th.
Killing it.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, I mean, Hill.
I got a lot of first rounders in the draft.
I mean, last year, going into the season last year, there were people that were like, Hill, like Anthony Hill Jr. might be a Heisman candidate for Texas. You know, like Arch Manning's a Heisman favorite, but don't forget this guy on the other side, because of course they were going to go undefeated and, you know, win it all and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's who the Titans, I mean, the Titans got a pretty good talent.
Liam says, Does she have a quick trigger for moving on from people? Sure. But I still appreciate Amy. She wants to win. And if that isn't happening, your job isn't safe. Like Steinbrenner, win or you're out. Accountability over stability. This is from Liam on the text line. I like it.
Why can't you have accountability and stability?
Well, I mean, got to win. Who knows? Borgonzi could be here forever. Could be here for a long time.
That'd be great news.
It'd be a great right development.
Yeah. You're a Titans fan. You could sign up for that.
I would love the idea of 5 years from now, Borgonzi, Saleh, and Ward all still being here. That would probably signal pretty good things.
Absolutely. If that's the case, then it's about to get good. It's about to get quite good.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot more on the Titans to get into. We'll take more of your thoughts on Chad Brinker stepping down. Dave Ziegler talked yesterday about the Carnell Tate selection. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.